Colin McDevitt from the SDLP. So Paul Given has explained this morning. It's beyond Peter Robinson using the word perception. The DUP is stating as fact that the loyalist protests have been treated differently by the police than Republican protests.
Well, I think this is the real nub of the issue this week. Is the First Minister going to accept that his statement after he met the Chief Constable was a mistake? That the evidence that he said he had to prove what he alleges is bias is not there. Actually, the evidence points to the opposite, that what he said last night in his further statement about the HET
is not true. We'll get on to the HET in a second.
I'm just making the general point, Stephen, is not true, and the evidence is not there.
Let's stand the protest, please.
And I think we all need to ask ourselves a simple question. You know, is Peter Robinson interested in being the First Minister of Northern Ireland? Does he want to lead this region forward with Martin McGuinness as Deputy First Minister?
He's the leader of the DUP.
He is the First Minister.
He's quite entitled. Alongside
Martin McGuinness, he holds the highest political office in the land. He is well able and spends a considerable amount of his time enjoying the benefits of that office, all the luxuries and the privileges, all the international plaudits that come with being in that office. And yet...
The luxuries, the plaudits, and the hard work that he does, and the long hours that he puts in.
Stephen, what I'm saying is this. Look, I acknowledge the progress we've made in the past few years. Yeah? And I am big enough to say that when I make a mistake, I'm human, and therefore I'm sorry, and I move on. But there's something in Peter Robinson's mind that seems to think that he has the right to rant off, to spread myths, to undermine the rule of law and the institutions of the state.
Well, he's not, at no stage would he admit to undermining the rule of law. He would absolutely deny that. And indeed, he has pointed out in his statement... Not if you're going to misrepresent someone. And he has pointed out in his statement that he has encouraged the community to abide by the law at all times.
Well, if he wants the community to abide by the law, then it needs to start with the first basic premise, and that is accepting that the operational independence of the PSNI is sacrosanct, that the only accountability mechanism for the police in Northern Ireland is the policing board. And can I just pick up something Mike Penning said, because I think it needs to be clarified. I'm quoting Mike Penning said, Mike Baggett is responsible to the executive and David Ford. That's absolutely fundamentally untrue. Matt Baggett is responsible to the policing board and the policing board alone. The point of Patton, the point
Not
of the
true.
Good Friday Agreement, the mandate that we were given in 1998, a mandate that we all have to work, even if we oppose the agreement like Peter Robinson did, was to establish a fully operationally independent police service.
Okay, go on, Paul Given.
And no, let me finish, because this is really important, Stephen. It's really, really important. And a policing board as the sole accountability framework. No minister in Northern Ireland, and not the Justice Minister, not... the First or Deputy First Minister, no minister and no politician has accountability functions over the police. That is solely and exclusively with the policing board. And that is the issue here. The First Minister needs to, I think, really, really not say anything that would ever undermine that.
Never talk about the police. Never talk about the First Minister can't ever talk about the role of the police.
He can talk about the role of policing, but he can't put himself in a position where he's giving the impression that he's trying to direct policing. And everyone believes that's what he was at earlier this week.
And of course you have never said, quote, we've been raising our concerns since before Christmas about what people perceive to be differential policing.
I'm a member of the policing board, Stephen. That's part of the role I have. You know, there is a specific...
Yeah, but you talked about the perception of differential policing, exactly what Peter Robinson has been doing, and you tried to get away with it, and now you're lambasting him for doing the same thing.
Two points. First of all, the point we were making, and I was making as a policing board member, is that if you look at the figures, actually, that the figures do suggest that the police have been much harder on nationalists and Republicans who have participated in notified parades than they have in loyalists. And what do we know, because the figures say what they say, that 147 people from the nationalist Republican community have been facing charges of participating in a notified parade. Three people from the loyalist community. So what I'm saying is that the fact is the fact. What Robinson is saying is it doesn't really matter what the facts of the matter are. I'm just going to have a little rant off here, and I'm just going to perpetuate this myth, even when I'm proven to be wrong.
All right. So when you said it's credible, when the First Minister says
evidence.
That it's a rant,
Stephen,
right.
mine is evidence-based.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and I'll stand to be challenged. If someone wants to challenge my figures or the PSNI's figures, I will stand corrected.
Okay.
The question today is, will the First Minister stand corrected for the fact that he hasn't been able to evidence a single one of the allegations?
Paul Given, in fact, do you want to respond to what Conal said, and then we'll get on to this?
I do, and if you give me just 1 minute to let me expose the hypocrisy that is coming from the SDLP. Firstly, this time last year, Conal McDavid said that the rehiring of retired police officers was undermining confidence within the nationalist community towards the police force. And now he criticises Peter Robinson for raising issues about a perception around how the police carried out its operation.
That's the difference.
Conal McDavid has criticised the First Minister that he's there to represent everybody. And yet only within the last week, Martin McGuinness went to the parole commissioners on behalf of Marion Price as part of a Sinn Féin delegation to the parole commissioners that operate a quasi-judicial function as to whether prisoners should be released on licence. So, again, no criticism of Martin McGuinness. I don't think Martin McGuinness was representing me or my community whenever he was going to that parole commissioner's hearing, and yet Conal McDavid doesn't criticise him. Thirdly, if you let me finish, Conal, and then we can
have
a change
about
of views, and the public can listen.
Let him finish, and then you can respond.
Thank you, Conal. If Conal can just have a little bit of patience and calm down on this. Thirdly, the SDLP campaigned and continues to campaign for the release of Marion Price. They supported a motion calling for the early release of Jerry McGough. Again, they are seeking to directly influence how judicial matters are handled and how prisoners are kept within prison. We have not. We have raised issues around perception, and that needs to be addressed. We have not sought to direct the courts, the prisons, or the police, which hasn't been the case from the SDLP.
No, you've gone beyond. That's not right. You've gone beyond perception. Talking about perception, Paul Given, you have stated as fact that the police are policing Republican areas differently than Loyalist areas. You have stated as fact that it is the responsibility of the Chief Constable to explain bail decisions.
Yes, I have stated as fact that have policed Loyalist protests differently to Republicans. That is not the issue. What we have said is that in doing so, they need to explain to the public why they have done that. I am not disagreeing with the police tactics in those particular circumstances, but unless they explain to the public why they are different, then inevitably that creates the feeling that Loyalists are somehow being victimised and Republicans aren't having the
same level. Okay, Colin McDavid, you can come back.
Look, Paul knows that the allegations that were made earlier in the week have not been stood up by the evidence. He knows that the allegations the First Minister made last night don't stand up. The evidence. And it begs a basic question. What is going on with the DUP at the moment, and what's going on with Peter Robinson? Are they interested in fulfilling their duty as the largest political party in Northern Ireland? Do they want to be in a partnership government? Do they want to transform this place? Or are they indulging an anti-agreement element within the Loyalist community who are trying to exploit the current crisis to destabilise our institutions, to drag us back? That's the real issue here. And I mean, you know, it's just one big whataboutery rant that's been coming from the upper echelons of political unionism. And I don't mind if it was evidenced, if they could point to one scintilla of evidence to substantiate it, I'd have a reasonable debate with them about it. But they can't, Stephen. And they're refusing to. And instead, they're coming on the airways to try and duck it and dive it. I'm willing to forget this episode and go back to work on Monday morning.
I notice you've ducked the questions.
On both Marion Price and
the Deputy First Minister did.
On the question of the Deputy First Minister and bail situations, I would make the same observation about the Deputy First Minister I'd make about the First Minister. Whenever you're the joint leader of this government in our region, you have a duty to rise above issues that are going to be deeply divisive and undermine public confidence in your office. So my opinion, for what it's worth, and I'm grateful Paul has asked me my opinion.
And were you public about it at the time when Martin McGuinness went to the parole commission about Marion Price? Were you public about it at the time? Did you release the same level of statement at the time?
Stephen, with the greatest respect, I'm really not going to indulge this sideshow for too long. Martin McGuinness didn't run to a microphone immediately after the Marion Price hearing that I'm aware of and start making accusations.
So when he went to the Parole Commission, the answer is that you didn't take the same approach to the Deputy First Minister.
I didn't criticise Peter Robinson for meeting the Chief Constable. I think it's great that he meets the Chief Constable. It's fantastic. I think it's very important that he meets him. I criticised Peter Robinson for running to a microphone straight after he met the Chief Constable and making a whole load of allegations. Allegations that rather than pulling away from over the past 4 days, the DUP now seem determined to actually sort of try and still substantiate, even though they're not. And what I'm saying is that anyone who enjoys the privilege of being the first or deputy first minister of Northern Ireland, of the executive here, has a duty to rise above the sort of sectional politics that so often drives us.
Do you know what this programme, Colin McDevitt, do you know what this programme has fought against from day one, and it will continue to do so while I'm here? It has fought against these cosy conversations from politicians and people in high places of power in Northern Ireland and excluding the public. And it's really, really interesting, Colin McDevitt, that the basis of your differentiation, why you've criticised Peter Robinson more than you criticised Martin McGuinness at the time, is because Peter Robinson, as you put it, ran to the microphone. No. Do you know what running to the microphone means? It means Peter Robinson talking to the public, talking to the people who pay his wages. Really interesting comment from you. In other words, the same people that keep you in a job.
Stephen, the Chief Constable comes to the Policing Board of Northern Ireland every month. He spends between 1 and 2 hours being grilled, cross-examined, held to account, often very robustly, by the Policing Board in public session. You can come down someday. There was a meeting yesterday. There are often 100 people in the public gallery and all the media there. My point is this. The Good Friday Agreement is the reason we're all able to do the job we do. It's the Good Friday Agreement that gives Peter Robinson the opportunity to be First Minister. The Good Friday Agreement said we will never, ever allow this place to return.
Don't see anything in the Good Friday Agreement saying the First Minister can't speak to the public.
Please don't make light of this. Please don't make light of this. The Good Friday Agreement gave us the opportunity to have a police service that everyone supports. We don't mess with that. The Good Friday Agreement said that the only accountability mechanism for policing in Northern Ireland would be an independent policing board. We don't mess with that. And that's the point I keep making.
Paul Given,
to you and to the First Minister.
Paul Given, can I? Sinn Féin have just contacted us, Paul. Can I read to you what they've said?
Sure.
It seems they seem to be now taking disagreement with your party. There's a statement into the Nolan Show from the Sinn Féin MP, Conor Murphy, who has said, none of these statements from Peter Robinson are made as First Minister. For that to happen, he would have to have the agreement of Martin McGuinness, who does not agree with him on this position. The only problem you've got there with that is that Peter Robinson has put at the very top of his press release, speaking today, First Minister and DUP leader, Peter Robinson. So you've got Sinn Féin now telling you off for insisting that Peter Robinson released this statement in his role as First Minister and DUP leader, and Martin McGuinness now telling him, Conor Murphy now telling him off and saying he needs Martin McGuinness's permission to do that.
Well, I think that's a little bit of a smokescreen. As Sinn Féin well know, Peter Robinson is elected as First Minister because he comes from the largest party within the Northern Ireland Assembly. It is on that basis that he is appointed as First Minister. He is not dependent on Sinn Féin's votes within the Assembly.
Sinn Féin are telling you through the Nolan Show this morning that you, Peter Robinson, needs Sinn Féin, Martin McGuinness's permission to release that statement.
Well, the statement has been released.
If he's putting his place, if he's putting it as a position of First Minister.
Well, he has released that statement. So if they're saying that he required Martin McGuinness's approval to release the statement, it didn't have a lot of effect then. What would be useful if Martin McGuinness, like Peter Robinson, could explain to the public why he met with the parole commissioners, what did he say to the parole commissioners about Marion Price? That would be very helpful, and I think the public would like to know what the Deputy First Minister, who is there supposedly to represent all of the people, what he was doing in that capacity.
And do you not think he should be allowed to do that?
Well, again, politicians are entitled to make representation to whom they wish. I don't have an issue with that. What is helpful, though, is that they then make public the nature of that representation, and then the public can decide if they believe that that is appropriate or not.
Okay. Conall, thank you. Paul Given, thank you very much indeed.